Dick Barton, Special Agent. We bring you episode 2 of Dick Barton, broadcast by special arrangement with the BBC. In our last episode, Barton and Secret Service man Jimmy Lowe were in the strong room which had been built inside a cave for the purpose of housing a new secret weapon. Barton is helping Lowe, who has been stabbed, when suddenly the great iron door of the strong room begins to close, and Dick and Lowe are trapped inside.
Oh, Jiminy, what a nasty mess to be in. Still, Snowy White won't be away too long, I hope, unless...
Yes, unless. I'm afraid, Barton, that your friend Snowy White has probably stopped a packet. That fellow wouldn't let him go for help.
Oh, well, we don't know that. Now, let's have another look at that wound. Oh, gosh, you're still losing blood.
You can't do anything about it, Barton. I've just about had it. So have you, unless someone releases you from this tomb.
No, don't start talking about tombs. You make me nervous. There, I don't think I can do anything more to help you, old chap. Not at the moment. Comfy?
Yes. Don't worry about me. Have a look round. See if there's any way out.
I've been looking round ever since the door closed, and I'm afraid...
This place has been cut out of the living rock.
What's the matter?
That door was a very close-fitting door. Did you notice it?
Yes. Getting stuffy, isn't it?
Yes. Doesn't look as though there's any way that air can get into the place at all.
Now, don't talk, old chap. Just relax. Let me think.
Guess I'll have a nap. I feel drowsy.
Oh, hell. All right, take it easy, old son. Hell again.
Sorry about this.
Oh, forget it. Hello? What was that?
Eh?
Wake up. I heard something. Listen.
Go to sleep. Good night, old man.
Oh, no, you're not. I think our friend's come back. Listen. Listen, old man. Somebody is trying to open the door.
Impossible. Only my boss, Colonel Gardner, got a key.
Somebody pinched the secret weapon, didn't they? Somebody must have a key. Listen, he probably thinks we're suffocated. Wait till he comes right into the room, right up to us, play possum, then I'll let him have it. I'll give him... Professor, I'll bash his Homburg hat over his eyes.
Colonel Gardner, head of MO13. You'll see Barton, old man. That's who it is. Colonel Gardner. Good night.
Lowe! Jimmy Lowe! You in there? Why, what the...
Told you to be Colonel Gardner.
What's happened? Who are you? No, don't move, my friend. I've got a pistol in my right hand.
Are you Colonel Gardner?
Who the devil are you?
It's all right, Chief. Captain Barton, late of 20 Commando. Met him in Belgium. Good scout. Just the man you want. Got me. Stabbed.
We're wasting time. Have you got a car?
Yes.
And the sooner we get Jimmy Lowe to hospital, the better. He's bleeding to death, stabbed in the side. He's lapsing into a coma.
Who did it, you know?
Yes, tall fellow, black Homburg hat, spoke in very precise tones, wearing a brown Macintosh.
Not a shortish, stocky fellow, ruddy complexion, in flannels.
That's my pal, Snowy White. We sent him for an ambulance or a car or something.
Well, I'm afraid he didn't get very far. I found him lying on his face at the entrance to the cave. Somebody's given him one hell of a slosh on the back of the head.
You don't mean he's...
Oh, good Lord, no. Just out for the moment. Wants a few stitches. He's right as rain tomorrow. Here, take those legs. I'll take this end.
Gosh, fresh air again. All right, Jimmy, old son. Soon be in a nice, comfy bed. Where's the car, sir?
The top of this path. There's an RAF corporal with it. Hey, corporal! Corporal!
Coming, sir. Lummy, sir. What another corpse? What is this?
Well, hasn't the other chap come round yet?
No, sir. Out like a lot, he is. Sleeping peaceful as a newborn babe. Nasty guess in the back of his comp, though, sir.
Give us a hand with this chap. Steady. He's bad.
Cool. Bleeding a bit, ain't he? Come on.
I say, Barton, how much did Lowe tell you?
Enough to make me want to know a lot more.
You've a right to know a certain amount.
To be frank, I don't quite see how you managed to crop up at the critical moment.
I'll explain that later. First, tell me, how far are you involved in this?
Far enough to want to see it through now.
Yeah. What do you know about the strong room?
Only that Jimmy said it
All
was...
All right, save it until we can talk later. Listen now, Barton. Lowe mentioned you to me once as being a useful sort of chap to have round. After that show in Belgium... You helped him, I believe.
There's nothing to speak of.
20 Commando, weren't you? Captain.
That's right. Snowy White there was a sergeant with me.
Any gongs? Not that it matters.
Oh, I was jammy. Got an MC. Snowy got a mention.
Married?
No, neither of us.
Any ties? Work or anything?
No, not eager to settle down to a humdrum existence for a bit. Only talking about it earlier on, strangely enough.
Yeah, might be able to use you two, Barton. If you don't mind a lot of danger, plenty of hard graft, and possibly a knife in the back at the end of it all, with no flowers and no public funeral.
Interested?
You make it sound extraordinarily attractive. No torture in it at all, I suppose?
No, I wouldn't even say no to that. Anyway, we'll discuss it later. Have a cigarette.
Here we are, sir. Castlebury Ward, straight up the drive.
Well, get a stretcher, quick. Ask for the surgeon on duty at once. Take this card. Come on, Barton. Give me your hand.
That's better. Oh, here's the stretcher. Nice work, Corporal.
Surgeon's coming right along, sir. Looks bad, this one, don't he?
Yes, don't like it at all. Oh, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Colonel. He looks pretty rough. Take him straight through. All right, my men will take over. We'll do what we can. I'll let you know. Try blood transfusion right away. Take him to the theater. And what about this one? He's out too, is he? Not too bad. We'll get him stitched up and send him home in the ambulance.
Here's my address. Rose Cottage, Granley.
Should get yourselves cleaned up. You look as though you've come from a slaughterhouse. I'll let you know about your other friend.
Poor old Jimmy. Do hope he'll be all right. Look, Barton, if I can come back to your place now, you interested enough to pack some things and come straight up to London with me? Your sergeant pal can follow up as soon as he feels fit enough.
Sure.
Only things getting a bit desperate. I think we shall have to work from London. If I know anything about the other side, they'll have their headquarters there. They'd be too conspicuous here.
You think you know who's on the other side, then?
Got a shrewd suspicion. I'll tell you about it when we get to your cottage. Clear up one or two loose ends, so far as you're concerned. Ah, Doctor, what news?
Don't like it at all, Colonel. He may be all right. We're giving him a transfusion now. I'll let you know. It's no use hanging round. The other one with the head wound will be quite okay after a night's sleep. We're stitching him up now. I'll send him down to Grandy later on.
I'd be grateful if you'd let me know fairly frequently how the bad case is getting on. Here's my London address. Perhaps you'd keep me advised till he's out of danger.
If he becomes out of danger, it's a nasty job.
If there should be any awkward questions regarding the nature of the wound, refer them to me, will you?
Yes, I quite understand.
We'll be getting along then. Come on, Barton. Cheerio, Doctor, and thanks enormously for all you've done.
Oh, I wish we could have done more. Anyway, I'll keep you posted of his progress. Cheerio.
Oh, Mrs. Horrock, you're a marvel. That meal was terrific.
I do me best in these days of rationing, sir, but you can't do what you like to. Me and Mr. Dick has to go on starvation diet some days.
I'm sure Mr. Dick's appearance doesn't bear that out.
Coffee?
Yes, and then perhaps you'll see that the corporal's getting on all right in the kitchen, Betsy. The Colonel and I want to go into a bit of a huddle.
Yes. Shall you all be in to supper, Mr. Dick?
Well, no, actually, I'm going up to London with Colonel Gardiner practically right away. Will you follow up, Betsy, as soon as you can?
To London? Now you're talking, Mr. Dick. I'll be up in town nearly as soon as you are. Want some sandwiches?
That's an idea. It's a long trip.
Not the way we go, Barton.
Anyway, I'll cut you a bit of something in case you feel peckish in the train. There's your coffee. Help yourself.
She certainly is a gem.
You know, Colonel, considering there are frightful secret weapons being stolen, a man's been nearly murdered, and I've nearly been suffocated, you take things pretty leisurely, don't you?
Not much point in dashing madly round in a flat, Barton. Weapon's been stolen. But let's put you right in the picture first, shall we?
That wouldn't be a bad idea.
Right. Well, first of all, you know that we've evolved the most fiendish weapon that diabolical ingenuity could possibly devise. Why we had to do it, I don't know. There it is.
I thought the atom bomb was the very last word in that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, it is. But the atom bomb's effects are, to a certain extent, a merciful death. You're here 1 minute and gone the next.
Yes, that's true.
Well, the effects of this new weapon are that you're here 1 minute and you're a long time going. It's the difference, really, between dying quickly and being slowly tortured to death. But the main point is that this weapon doesn't need the elaborate plant required for atomic bomb construction. One man, possessing all the secrets of atomic bombs, wouldn't be much of a danger today. Always assuming, of course, that all the nations are working constructively for peace, because he couldn't sell his secrets, and he certainly couldn't make the bombs. But one man, possessing all the secrets of this new weapon, could hold the whole world to ransom, because he could make and operate it. You see?
Yes, I begin to. That gives me the groundwork, anyway. Now what?
Well, we've been anxious to hand over this weapon to the United Nations, both as a gesture of good faith and as a means of relieving ourselves of a nasty headache. The only model of the weapon has been hidden in the disused mine with a guard of ex-army men. You know quite a bit of what happened from that point.
You sent Jimmy Lowe down to make preliminary arrangements for the bomb to be handed over, eh?
Yes, but that was yesterday.
Yet you still came breezing down only a few minutes after we're locked up in the strong room, just in the nick of time. You must be psychic.
No, Barton. This is the point. I couldn't think of any one man big enough and bad enough to cause any trouble. Before the war, I should have been very worried because of a certain Wilhelm Kramer, German, who operated on an international scale. An evil genius with simply diabolical ingenuity, terrific powers of organization, and absolutely no scruples whatever. He would have been a menace. But he'd been reported killed in Hamburg during one of our raids.
Well, that wipes him out, then.
So I thought. But last night I received undeniable proof that Cromer was still alive and was in this country.
Ah, the plot thickens.
Precisely. Then, this morning, first thing, I received information that the body of one of the guards on the mine had been found washed up on the beach with a nasty head wound. I tried to contact Lowe, but of course he was on his way. So I came down myself by air, borrowed an RAF car from the drome, and arrived just in time.
Oh, fortunately for little me. Pity you didn't arrive a bit earlier from Jimmy's point of view.
Yes, damn shame that. Anyway, there's the whole setup. One or two things still to tell you, but, well, you've got the main principles.
Yes. Well, the sooner we're on our way, the better. I'll nip upstairs and pack a bag. Shall we, sec?
Excuse me, sir.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Horrock.
Has Mr. Dick gone up to his room?
Yes, why?
He's going to have a surprise when he opens the door.
A surprise? Why?
A man came from the darts club while he was out with a present for him, a bedside reading lamp.
Very nice. You see it?
No, it's to be a surprise. It's connected to the bedroom door, so the man said. When Mr. Dick opens the door, the lamp goes on. He told me not to go into the bedroom till Mr. Dick had seen it.
What? What's that? The man was alone in the bedroom, fixing it, and you want to go in?
Well, that's right. It's a surprise, you see. They think a lot of Mr. Dick at the darts club, you know. What?
Barton!
Well, what is...
Barton! Can't be a bit. Don't open your bedroom! Too late! Come on!
What has happened to Dick Barton? Who was the strange man from the darts club? What will Colonel Gardner find at the top of the stairs? Listen again to Dick Barton, Special Agent, an Australasian radio production.